In 1 Samuel 15, we find a fascinating encounter between Samuel and King Saul. To summarize, Saul and the Israelite army were sent by God to carry out an assignment. On completion of the victorious battle, Samuel exposed Saul for his secret rebellion. Yes, Saul successfully carried out the mission, but he plundered the enemy's livestock for his own gain. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws a parallel from this passage and illustrates how Saul's defiance is painfully similar to our own. Chuck titled today's convicting message, "Stop Resisting and Start Submitting." And we begin with prayer.
Our Father, we acknowledge that we live in a rebellious day, and we also admit that that whole spirit of stubbornness and resistance has washed over us. We find it in homes, in schools, at the workplace, even in churches. It is everywhere, and it impacts every age and stage of life. And we come to a section like this, and we're caught up short to read that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. It is easy in the midst of a world in which we live that is bent on these things to realize how serious you are in warnings like that. I pray that you would speak to all of us today. Some who hear this will find it very difficult to acknowledge. Others will acquiesce and readily admit, "There I am portrayed on the pages of Scripture." Give us sensitive hearts, Lord, to see what is here and to hear what it is saying. May we be swift to hear, slow to speak, reluctant to rationalize. May our time together be soul-searching as we realize the relevance of revealed truth preserved from centuries past for this very day, this very hour. How grateful we are, our Father, for a place where truth can continue to be taught and where it will be heard, and where, upon hearing, we seek to find ways to obey, which begins with a change. And I pray that you would help those who find that change difficult. It is not easy for anyone, but especially for those who have formed the habit of resisting rather than submitting. Give us teachable hearts, open minds, willing wills. Thank you for the privilege of spreading the message of truth beyond our own walls, for the opportunity of touching the lives of those in our community. May that happen in a special way as we meet many who have come from around us who are not normally in attendance. May our church be known for its warm welcome, for its gracious and genuine, heartfelt friendliness. May love mark our steps. May it be that which characterizes our lives, our congregation. Minister, we pray in a special way as our hearts are turned toward the things of the Lord, and we think about the suffering of his life and the death on our behalf and the glorious resurrection that has set us free from the jaws of sin and the grip and fear of death. We give our gifts today that we might know the joy of reaching out through these gifts to those in great need. Minister through them as we give these gifts for your glory and by your grace. We commit this offering to you with gratitude in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Stop Resisting and Start Submitting.
It is wrong to resist when it represents an attitude of defiance, disrespect toward proper authority. And it's always wrong to disobey the living God. To put all of that in two simple words, I call it carnal rebellion. Carnal rebellion. It's the opposite of genuine humility, the kind of submissive spirit modeled by none other than Jesus the Christ. James tells us, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Peter adds, younger men, be subject to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God desires that we be a people known for true humility and faithful submission. Get this clearly, a defiant spirit is never from the Lord. Resisting God's will is never appropriate or acceptable. Choosing to go our own way is never pleasing to God. Your title or your position, no matter how powerful or important, never justifies defiance. All of this provides the perfect balance for the biblical story we're going to examine in 1 Samuel 15. The man's name is Saul. He has an interesting background. When he began his life as a leader, he was little in his own eyes. He didn't feel deserving of being appointed and anointed king. Nevertheless, he was. And he entered the role reluctantly, but by and by, something seemed to snap. He was a man who was in fact a king, but it led him to make decisions on his own. And as he grew older, those decisions invariably were inappropriate. And finally, he is on his last leg, where he is given an opportunity to prove his willingness to obey the God who had appointed him to this role as the monarch of the nation. It wasn't too many years before Saul began to model the very things I've described as a defiant spirit and an unsubmissive will. You recall, this is the man who ultimately turned against David when David slew the giant and the people sang his praises. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Saul hated that and wasn't a big enough man to realize he had a better man than himself in his court. Saul turned on his own son, Jonathan. Saul rushed and offered a sacrifice on the altar, though Saul is a king and not a priest. And now we find Saul openly, deliberately defying the command of God of all things, a man who had been anointed and appointed king. Now, the instruction that Saul is given is as clear as a bell. You decide as I read it. One day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people. Now, listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. May I pause and say here that that is God's sovereign right. It is his sovereign right to make decisions like this. He doesn't have to explain himself. He isn't obligated to clarify all of the whys or any of them. He makes a statement to the king, and now he expects the king to carry it out. King Saul is given explicit instructions. Let me ask you if you don't agree. Verse 3, I would say, is awfully clear. Now, listen to the command. Go, completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. I ask you, is it clear? It's clear. You may not like it. You may have questions. But this is the instruction from the Lord God Almighty, not open for discussion, not appropriate to be questioned. Only one response is appropriate, and that is obey exactly what God has said. It is as clear as the day the Lord said to Moses, "Lead my people out of Egypt." It is as clear as the Lord wrote in his command, "You shall not commit adultery." It is as clear as God's word to Adam and Eve, "Do not eat of this tree." It's as clear as the Lord said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." It is as clear as Jesus said, "Go into all the nations and make disciples of them." It is as clear as Paul's words, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing." King Saul is given explicit, clear, unmistakable instructions. There's no wobble room. There's no reason for confusion. There's no excuse for disobedience. It looks good to begin with. Saul mobilized his army at Telaim, verse 4. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Good for him. The beginning of obedience. He's setting up a strategy for following through. He even shows compassion. Read on. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites, "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites packed up and left. The Lord had not told him to touch any of the Kenites. Saul made sure they're out of the land so that when there is a follow-through, they will not be injured, they will not be killed. Verse 7, again, so far, so good. Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. Next two words, he captured. Wait just a minute. Is the word capture ever found in the instructions given by God through Samuel? Not once. So we see the beginning of an incomplete obedience. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but he completely destroyed everyone else. But don't stop reading. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept. Is the word "kept" found anywhere in the instructions, in the command? Never. So now we have another compromise. He captures the king. He kept the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. It isn't about what appeals to you when you have been given a command from God. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality, that is, in their eyes. So they made a distinction between the real healthy sheep and the other animals named, and those that were not, and so they separated. Let me tell you something. Saul did not misunderstand the Lord. He simply disagreed. For whatever reason, he deliberately did as he pleased. It's called rebellion. It's called resistance. He knowingly hedged in his response. Now, God saw everything very clearly, and so did Samuel. The verses that follow prove that. Verse 10. After Saul has deliberately disobeyed, observe the Lord's response. He had seen it all. Now he informs Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command." Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. It grieves Samuel. It grieves him. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Notice this. Well, Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. What is that about? I want to go, why on earth are you setting up a monument to yourself, you dodo? Don't you realize what you've done? Look at what you've done. It's not time for your own monument now or later or ever. It isn't about you, Saul. But he never learns this. He never gets it. Not only is it inappropriate here, it's inappropriate anywhere. Since when is a leader to set up a monument to himself? Of course, if your ego is such, you can justify that. Who's to question you, especially when you're the king? So he set up a monument to himself, and then he went to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, look at the response. Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I've carried out the Lord's command. You want to go, is there something here I missed? And there's something here Saul missed. I mean, he's casual, he's cavalier. Hey, Sam, how you doing? Everything's great, man. I've carried out the Lord's command. How about that? One of the favorite methods, by the way, for excusing out-and-out disobedience is rationalizing. And you will hear it right in front of our eyes. We're able to read it. I've carried out the Lord's command. And I like Samuel's response. Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear? What's all of that? If you carried out the Lord's command, there's silence. But there are animals roaming and sounding forth, and Samuel demands, what is that? Now listen to the rationalization. It's true that the army spirit, oh, there you go. It's called passing the buck. You know, there's 210,000 of them, Samuel. I mean, give me a break. I mean, all those people decided this is what we ought to do. The army spared the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle. Saul admitted, but they're going to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. We have destroyed everything else. Understand, Samuel, we aren't just keeping these. We aren't going to slaughter them and eat them. We're going to sacrifice them. Nothing but the best for the Lord. He misses the point entirely. And you do when you're in rebellion. You live by rationalization. I checked the word, by the way. Rebellion means opposition to one in authority, open defiance of or resistance to an established authority. Rationalization means, and I quote, to provide plausible but untrue reasons for conduct. Again, to provide plausible but untrue reasons for conduct, to attribute one's actions to rational motives without analysis of what is true. You and I have done it more times than we want to remember. That's how you live with your guilt. This is how Saul justifies what they have done or not done. He's going on and on and on, and I love Samuel's response as they're talking about this further and further. Verse 16, Samuel said to Saul, stop. Just stop. Quit talking. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. Saul is incredulous. What did he tell you? Couldn't imagine. Saul asked. Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, meaning when you began to reign as king, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. King of Israel. The Lord sent you on a mission. He told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? That's the issue. Don't talk about sacrifice. Don't talk about how you plan to use the animals. In fact, look at the response. It's an out-and-out lie. I did obey the Lord. Look how blind he is, verse 20. He insisted, I did obey the Lord. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. I mean, you're not going to pick at me over one king. And my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord God. This is a better plan, Samuel. Think of the sacrifice to him. Samuel had heard enough. Check out verses 22 and 23. Let them say what they say. Some of you have never read the verses in all your life. Let them say what they say. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, in case Saul struggles with the answer. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. He goes further. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Let me summarize some of this and directly apply it to you who still have small children in your home. Life is all about the Lord. It is not about Saul. It is not about you. Pleasing him and obeying his voice is the only way to live. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. Submission is better than any offering. And on the other hand, rebellion, look at it, as sinful as witchcraft, stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. It's not often you read something as bold as that in such few words. Next time you're tempted, mothers and dads, to overlook either your child or the one that you're rearing, however that child may have come into the home, shaping his life and guiding the will you remember those words? Will you remember that the seeds of rebellion are first sown in the home? That's where habits are formed to resist. That's where people learn not to submit, especially when parents release the authority because it is hard work. Dealing with a defiant child is never pleasant, but it is a responsibility of every parent. If it will help to look at it like this, if you do not, you are passing off to the school and the teacher your responsibility, and ultimately to the one they marry, a hell on earth experience. Living with a rebellious husband or an out of control wife is a dreadful way to live. Parents, it can be traced back to you.
Chuck Swindoll titled today's convicting message, Stop Resisting and Start Submitting. And this is Insight for Living. And there's much more ahead, so we encourage you to join us again next time. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Whether you're a mom or dad who's dealing with a defiant son or daughter, or perhaps you're the one who has been pushing against God's authority, whatever the case, nothing will lead you to a more satisfying life than learning to surrender. And today, I'll point you to a popular resource that'll guide you. Chuck wrote a devotional called Faith for the Journey: Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. January is the perfect time to start a new discipline, spending a few minutes each day learning to submit your trust to God. You'll find all the details for purchasing Faith for the Journey at insight.org/offer. And then remember, in addition to hearing Chuck's teaching on your radio station, we've created a number of alternative methods for listening. Insight for Living has a mobile app where the program is easily accessed. You can also automatically download the daily podcast along with the Searching the Scriptures study notes, so Chuck's Bible teaching is preloaded into your mobile device. For all the details, go to insight.org/listen. This instant access to Insight for Living is made possible by our monthly Companions of Grace and all those who give to support this nonprofit ministry. In January, we're looking to add more monthly givers to the team to provide strength and stability throughout 2020. Signing up to become a monthly companion is simple, and you set the monthly amount that suits you. Just call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Or if you're listening in the United States and you want to give a one-time gift today, call 1-800-772-8888.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
There's a simple and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
Become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Together, let's introduce people to the God who says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness."
Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his message about the virtue of submitting to God's authority, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, "Stop Resisting and Start Submitting," was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.